Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Uptown Rundown podcast. And in today's episode, we have quite a bit to get through. It's another hot week, another humid week. So, again, this podcast is only going to go as long as I can stand being in this room right now because the windows are closed. The air was blasting. But yeah, I can't have the windows open because I live downtown. So, you know, then you never... Well, plus it's humid, so I'm not going to let the humidity in. Anyway, let's... All right, where should we start? There's so much nonsense happening right now. I honestly don't even know where to start. Let's talk about... Oh, goodness gracious. Let's talk about the least consequential... We'll talk about what's inconsequential, then sort of move toward the more, you know, real scary stuff. So I guess this is the least consequential. So we talked about them last week. We talked about Erica and Tom Girardi, the lawyer. Remember him? He's the one who got famous off of the case when he represented Erin Brockovich when it had to do with her municipality's water supply was literally poisoned. And anyway, so he got super famous off of that case. Anybody who's a lawyer or like has been to law school, they all know who he is. Everyone knows who he is. He's very famous. And he's gotten very rich as well. So remember we talked about last week about the case against him. I'm not going to go through it again. Let's talk about some more recent developments. So what the accusation is that he and Erica are having a divorce and it's allegedly a sham. And I think it is. I think it's a sham because we already know, we've seen the documents of his law firm over the course of many years funneling in excess of $20 million to Erica's LLC called EJ Global. We've seen the documents. Now the court is saying, Erica, you need to show us your financial statements. You need to show us all this going back, you know, who knows how long. So now Erica's in very big trouble. So we also know that she's in big trouble because the court has now said that. So among the people that are suing Tom Girardi, remember, he's being sued by people that he has represented. What is happening is the people who he has represented in the past are now saying, you never gave us our settlement. Their cases were settled. Tom Girardi represented them. They want their money. The lawyer is supposed to get the funds from the person that they sued or from the company that was sued. In this case, we're talking about an airline. So we're talking about the families of the passengers on this airline. There was a plane crash, all 600 people dead. Their families want their settlement from the airline called Lion Air. Lion Air settled, paid Tom the money, which is how it normally goes. It gets put into an account. You are not supposed to touch that money if you're a lawyer with clients that you are representing. And all states are very, very strict about it. I mean, if there's a 2 cent difference, if there's a question of 5 cents, disbarred, quickly disbarred. So everyone knows that you're not supposed to be doing this. So the accusation is he kept basically all the money for himself. Do you guys hear that? Let me close this. See, look at this. I told you, I didn't close the window in the living room. And so, got distracted. What a mess. Anyway, let's get back to it. So, the plane crash families want their money. They haven't gotten their money. He is owing millions, tens of millions, maybe even in the hundreds of millions at this point in settlement money that these people were supposed to get. Another family that is suing them is the family of a man named Joseph Ruy Gomez. He lost 95% of his skin in a burning incident when his house caught on fire because of a pipe. I don't know the details. The pipe combusted. Not a pipe from his house, but a pipe that was underground, you know, managed by the municipality. Therefore, so Joseph Ruby Gomez and his family, they were burned a little bit too, but he got the most of it. Their house literally blew up. He lost 95% of his skin. And he wants his money too. He's saying that he can't get any, he can't afford any more surgeries. He's gotten many surgeries to repair the lost skin, but he needs more surgeries. And those surgeries cost money, but he can't get those surgeries because Tom has kept the money for himself. So Tom needs to give up the money, right? You might think, okay, like the cat's out of the bag, right? Like give up the money, give up, like the jig is up. You would think that that's the case, right? And all the documents are there. We have the voicemails. Remember, there was a documentary about Erica and Tom put out late June last month documenting all of this. Joseph Ruby Gomez and his family were heavily featured, being able to see him in the hospital bed, seeing what he looks like now versus before. It really has garnered so much public interest now. And the public is angry. Remember, Erica's a reality TV show star, and people want to boycott the show. She's on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. People are all over Instagram, on all over the blogs, talking about, I'm not watching until Erica's gone. She's trying to avoid discussing it on the show. It's just really just messed up. And so, but now, a judge is saying that the Ruby Gomez family can go after Erica now for the 11 and some change million that they are owed. They are owed 11 and some change million dollars, and the judge said, you know what? You can sue Erica now. You've tried to sue Tom. We're still in process with that, but in the meantime, go ahead and sue Erica. Haven't seen any update about that yet, but the thing is, normally you sue people because they have money. And when it comes to Erica and Tom, you would think that they have money, but they don't. It's very obvious. They don't. Their house, again, is on the market. Their house has been on the market for, I don't know, maybe 45, 50 days. Their house is in Pasadena, which is, who wants to live in Pasadena? So the house was, I have it up here. I have the listing right up here. It's a very long novel for a listing. Like, it's just telling you every last detail about the house. It's a really nice house. It's just far. It is far. Who wants to live in if you're spending eight figures on a house, like, so the house was on the market originally for $13 million. It has since dropped to $11.5 million, of course. The thing is, it's going to drop more. It's going to be a fire sale because you know why? Because everyone who's in the market to buy that house, they all know who lives in that house. They all know why they're selling that house. Therefore, they are going to wait. They're going to wait till that house is at $2 million, you know, $5.95, and then someone's going to be like, I'll take it. No one's going to buy that house because they know that these people are desperate. That's the thing. You don't go selling all your belongings. Remember last week I talked about it. Erica has been found selling jewelry for $60,000 here. What's $60,000 when you're facing eight figures of potential debt from a lawsuit? What's $60,000 when you owe $50 million? You know what I mean? Like... Like, this is how desperate they are. You have to be very desperate to be trying to sell little jewelry, little four-figure, five-figure jewelry when you owe 8, 9, 10, 11 figures in debt. Like, it's just outrageous. It is outrageous. I don't think these people are going to get their money. That's the thing. I don't think they're going to get their money because they don't have any. Erica and Tom do not have any money. That's why they're doing all this. That's why Tom is trying to play up this dementia, which is new, like, all of a sudden, like, you're sued now, okay, so Tom was being sued late last year, and then all of a sudden, boom, I have dementia. Since when? Since when did you have dementia? Because you were working perfectly fine up until this point. So now, voila, you have a dementia diagnosis, which leads me to believe that that diagnosis is fabricated. I think it's fabricated. Remember, I told you guys last week, the psychiatrist who gave him that dementia diagnosis, his office is in Long Beach. Who's going from Pasadena to Long Beach to go to a therapist? No one's doing that. That's very, very far. If you know anything about LA, then you know that Long Beach, that no one wants to drive anywhere because it takes 10,000 years. Long Beach is way down. It is down south. It is like down south LA. Like below Crenshaw, below Inglewood, like below all of that. You gotta go way to the coast. And it is far, and they live in Pasadena, the middle of nowhere. So no one's buying that house because everyone knows whose it is. They know they're going to be able to get it for super cheap once the time comes. And again, who's paying $11 million to live in Pasadena? That's the thing. You can get a good house in Beverly Hills for $11 million. And I'm talking about a nice house, maybe not 10,000 square feet like theirs. But again, who wants to be in the middle of nowhere? People who are spending $11 million don't want to live in Pasadena. People who are spending $11 million, they want to live in Beverly Hills. They want to live in Hollywood Hills. They want to live in Bel Air. They want to live in Santa Monica. You can live in Malibu. You can live anywhere. So why would you choose the outskirts? No one's selling that house. Those agents, those real estate agents who are selling that house, they need to quit swiftly because none of it matters. Moving on. So, yeah, they're done. Erica and Tom, you are out of here for now. The big question for me is, where's the money coming from? Who's paying it? No one's paying it. Even when they get a judgment, no one's going to get any money. That's the saddest part of it all, is that you're going through all this. No one's getting their money. Moving on, let's talk about something. let's talk about Texas, you guys. So last week, remember I was telling you guys about how Greg Abbott, their governor, has been saying that Trump said that they're going to build a wall and Mexico was going to pay for it. That did not come to fruition, obviously. So, Joe Biden has said we are going to discontinue all wall talk. No more wall, right? Texas says, Greg Abbott says, we need a wall between Texas and Mexico. Now remember, Greg Abbott has pledged $250 million of state funds to the construction of this wall. It's estimated that it'll cost $25 million per mile to construct the wall. So for every mile of wall, $25 million needs to be spent. He has given $250 million. That's 10 miles, right? And also, you know how else he's raising money? Not through taxes. We talked about this last week. Through donations, there's a website where you can donate. Apparently, now he claims that as of June, like late June, Greg Abbott says that they've gotten $459,000 in donations. That is not enough. Is that even enough for a mile? No, it's not. It's not enough for like a tenth of a mile. $25 million per mile, and you raised less than half of $1 million. That's not enough. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about Texas and how stupid they all are. So I looked it up because I was like, well, how many miles is the border between Texas and Mexico? How long is the borderline? So Department of Transportation of Texas says that it is 1,254 miles of border. Greg Abbott has given enough money for 10 of those. So let's talk about the remaining 1,244 miles of this wall. Let's do a little math right now. Let's see. So let's see how much it's going to cost. 1,244 times 25 million. So it's going to cost, is this billions? Yeah, $3.11 billion to create this border wall. And the weird thing is, I haven't seen any news outlets discussing this. Like, have we really looked at the numbers? That's the thing. We haven't looked at the numbers. No one's doing any math. See how quick that was? And see how quickly we can discern? This is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. There's no way that they're going to build this wall. 3 billion? Billion. Like, I really don't understand. Why are we doing this? I know why we're doing this, but why are we doing this? Because it's not for any good reasons. It's for fear-mongering. That's why we're doing it. It's all just a bunch of nonsense. I can't believe Texas. But anyway, well, actually, I kind of can. But let's talk a little bit more about Texas. So I have right here, let me pull it up, a little survey done, can this work? Okay, good. So, so the Dallas Good Morning News did a little survey of Texas voters. And, well, they only interviewed, how many people? 1,090 people, so that's literally nothing, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about some of the things that they said related to the wall. So, they said that, oh, are you going to donate? 14% said strongly agree. So, you got 14% saying that they will donate. But here's the thing. How much are you getting from these people? These people are poor! These people don't have any money. These people are so poor. That's why they all died a few months ago during your little snowstorm. These people have no money. So, again, we're talking about rich people asking poor people for money. Once again, here we go again. Hold on, I'm gonna have some water. So we're talking about rich people asking poor people for money. Surprise, surprise, because that's just how it goes. That's always how it goes. Let's see. Let's look at some more of the questions that they asked, just so we can really get to know. Remember, 1,000 people, 1,000 random people. They got a good, a good mix of people, though, because it actually tells you, while I'm looking at the actual study itself. Yeah, so they were, 578 white people, 149 black people, and 303 Hispanic people. So that's who they have surveyed for this. And I think it's actually a pretty decent, mix. They're talking about their party affiliation. We got 30% Republican and 36% Democrat. And then the third group, 34%, say that they're neither. So, whatever that means, you know. But, yeah, so, I mean, these people are stupid, though. These people are really dumb. Because, again, the question is, where's the money coming from? If no one has any money, and you're asking them for donations, how much are you going to get? Remember, we're talking about the fact that we need $3 billion. We need $3 billion for this wall. Because, what? This is so stupid. I don't even know. It's really strange. It's very, very strange. I don't even know what else there is to say about it. Yeah, $459,000 in donations. What's going to be another problem even for Greg Abbott to overcome is the eminent domain of it all. So remember, people who own land, they have to give up this land in order for the government to be able to build the wall. Now, we're talking about eminent domain. That's a principle under which you have to cede your property when the government tells you to. They will buy it off of you. And the thing is, there's plenty of families who were talking to the news when Trump was going to build the wall and some eminent domain processes were being started, and they were fighting back. They got some lawyer. So the thing is, there are people who fought the federal government. You think they're not going to fight you, Greg? Like a little state government? Like, who are you compared to the federal government? You know what I mean? Like, these people were fighting Trump. They were fighting the country. So fighting the state, that's child's play. So I feel like this $3 billion isn't even going to come up into question. Because we're not even going to get there. We got to get past the people. These people who own land, they probably have more money than Greg Abbott. Let's be honest. They probably have more money, more resources, and they can, you know, so, which means, remember, if you have money, you will win in court. That's just a given. Whoever has the more money will probably win in court. Let's be honest. So therefore, Greg Abbott, I'm going to need you to get a little bit more money if you're going to take on these landowners. Because, like, you're not going to win. There's no hope for this wall. It's just a talking point. You guys, it's just a talking point, a conservative talking point. But it riles people up. It gets people afraid. Conservatives are very afraid of the other. And who is the other? Remember, it always moves. The target is always moving. And in this case, it's Mexicans. Or as they see it, anyone who, you know, who they perceive as a native Spanish speaker. Because let's be honest, no one can tell the difference because these people are stupid. They don't care to know the difference. Anyone, hello, they deported citizens. ICE has deported citizens because they don't know the difference. It's just a big joke. Let's move on to some weird stuff. Let's talk about, one of our favorite congresswomen. Let me pull this up. This comes from, where does this come from? Where is it? Where is it? Oh, Lord, is it gone? Hold on, I had this up here somewhere. Let me slow down and look. Oh, here we go. Okay, so this interesting article comes from Forbes magazine, or Forbes.com, whatever. And so they're talking about one of our favorite congresswomen. We're talking about, you probably guessed it, Marjorie Taylor Greene. You guys know who she is by now. You should know by now who this lady is. Remember, and if you don't remember, I'll give you just a little reminder who this lady is. She's the congresswoman out of Georgia. She's really weird. She says that the Holocaust didn't happen. She says that, the earth is flat. She says Corona is fake. And she says that the California wildfires were not started because of global warming, that they were started by Jewish space lasers. Yes, I'm not making this up. This is real. This is what they say on Nazi forums also. Like, that's the thing. That's the creepy part. But anyway, moving on from all that, this is a very interesting thing. So remember, she says that the Holocaust did not happen, but she does a good job. Is it a good job? She does this a lot where she compares things to Nazi Germany. So my question is, did it happen or not, Marjorie? Because, like, you're really comparing a whole lot of things to it. Remember when she said that wearing a mask is similar to the Holocaust? Remember when she said that? She said that, I don't know, a few months ago, I think, right? Anyway, so let's talk about some more things that she has compared to the Holocaust. And remember, it didn't happen, but we are going to compare things to it. Who compares things to an event that didn't happen? Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about it. So, let's see. So, before her run for office, Marjorie Taylor Greene took aim at a conservative who praised the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted, Marjorie Taylor Greene said, it's kind of like saying, while I don't agree with Hitler, you have to admit that what he accomplished in his lifetime is impressive. Okay. So to me, it's like, what did he accomplish, Marjorie? What you talking about? What are you talking? Anyway, next, she says that George Soros is this billionaire guy out of like Ukraine or something. I don't even know. He is Jewish. George Soros is Jewish. I don't know where he's from. But Marjorie Taylor Greene says that she tweeted about him saying, the Nazi himself is trying to continue what was not finished. So she's referring to a Jewish person as a Nazi. That's kind of, that's a conservative talking point. That's again, what they say on Nazi forums. That's real. It's not a figment of our imagination. She has also said on June 15th, 2020, she compares removing the statues of Christopher Columbus, George Washington, and Abraham Lincoln to removing statues of Hitler and Satan. Why are you... That's just so strange to me how you compare American leaders to Hitler and Satan. That's something that I would probably do. That might be something I do, but that's not something that I would expect a conservative to do. That's not something I would expect a Nazi to do. I wouldn't expect a Nazi to compare American leaders to Nazi. Like, that's weird. Weird, weird, weird. Next. On May 22nd, 2021, so like a few months ago, she said that Nazi gas chambers and yellow stars forced upon Jews in Nazi Germany as a form of identification were exactly the type of abuse that the mask mandate inflicted. Remember, I said that just a few minutes ago, how she compared wearing a mask to being in the Holocaust. So she says that the fact that these people in the Holocaust were in gas chambers, that is similar to wearing a mask on the Senate floor. Really? Really, Marjorie? Let's talk about some more things she said. This lady is not done yet. She is not done yet. It's just crazy. She is so crazy. She says she doesn't like the vaccines. She has slammed vaccine verification measures implemented by a supermarket and a college as Nazi practices. And surprisingly enough, that is when Kevin McCarthy and some of the other higher ranking Republicans said, all right, lady, like, you're doing a lot. You're saying a lot. You're doing too much. Remember when they were kind of annoyed with her because she kept on comparing everything to the Holocaust? But again, you're comparing something to an event that never happened, right? Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene wants you guys to know that she now thinks the Holocaust happened. So she has gone to a Holocaust museum and she says, wow, I believe it now. What is wrong with you? Are you serious? Like, is this woman serious? I can't. Okay. So, yeah, she says the Holocaust has happened now. I don't think she's going around comparing things to the Holocaust anymore. But yeah, you know, that's she's such a weirdo. I just don't understand it. So let's be done with her for now. I mean, she's usually a gold mine for stuff to talk about. She's crazy! Who voted for her? You know how party affiliation is public knowledge, is public record? I need to know who voted for her. That's who I need to know. Who voted? This is crazy. Absolute craziness. So next, let's talk about someone we haven't talked about before. He's not at all new to politics. He's not at all, like, this isn't his first term or anything like that. He's someone who is quite similar to Marjorie Taylor Greene. His name is Paul Gosar. He is a congressman out of Arizona. Arizona elects some weirdos, Kristen Sinema. It's just, they elect the weirdest people. So they elected not only Kristen Sinema, but they also elected this man, Paul Gosar. He's been in office, I think, since around 2002 or so. So let's talk about him. He's in the news recently. Before we talk about what he's in the news about, let's talk about who he is. Remember, I want you guys to know who these people are. And because that really just tells us why they're in the mess that they're always in. It's like, for example, you guys know Marjorie Taylor Greene now. So you know why all the rest of the Republicans are always looking at her crazy. No one has anything to say about her when they're asked questions. No one has a word to say because no one wants to be near her because she's crazy. So I feel like we've established that really well. We know who she is. Now let's talk about Paul Gosar. He's really creepy. So, oh, wait a minute. No, he's only been in office since 2010. Yeah, 2010. Okay. So, before that, he was a dentist. But yeah, so he's your standard Republican on most issues, your standard conservative. You know, he doesn't think that women should be able to choose about having an abortion. He, apparently in 2020, he's received a 0 out of 100 rating from the Humane Society of the United States, which has to do with animal rights. So apparently he doesn't care about animal rights, which, okay, like, I don't even know what to say about that. He's upset with Pope Francis. He doesn't like Pope Francis. In, a few years ago, he announced that he wouldn't attend, Pope Francis's little, event at Congress unless the Pope spoke about issues such as, quote, violent Islam or Planned Parenthood. Pope Francis was going to talk about during this thing. This thing happened in 2015. He was going to give some event in Congress. Pope Francis was. And he was going to talk about climate change and about blah, 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 blah. And Paul Gosar was like, no, you need to talk about violent Islam. And then he says that Pope Francis he's adopted socialist talking points, and, he says that, you know, climate science is quote unquote questionable. And so he didn't even go. He didn't go to Pope Francis's little event, and he was literally the only person in Congress to not go. Remember, that's a lot of people in Congress. There's 430-something members in the House of Representatives and 100 senators. And one person decided not to go because he didn't want to talk about violent Islam. Get out of here, Paul. Like, you need... Get a life! Get a life, Paul! What is wrong with this person? So he has scored... Oh, my goodness. So he has scored a 3%... with the League of Conservation Voters. This is a climate change advocacy group. You know, he's one of the people that says that global warming isn't real. You know, you know those types of people. You know, he gets into fights regularly with the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. again, being in line with sort of standard conservative Republican mess. He's like, you know, he thinks that the Second Amendment is like the most, he's literally said that the Second Amendment is the most important part of our rights. The most important. Not healthcare, not education, owning a gun. That's the most important thing that we have. Apparently. Apparently. According to Paul. I wanted to call this something. I don't know, like the world according to Paul or something. So yeah, hold on, let me have some water. Okay, so he is also one of the people to vote against Juneteenth becoming a holiday. Surprise, surprise. Like, I'm not surprised at all. he says that Native Americans are the wards of the federal government. So they're not citizens themselves. They are wards. They belong, like, what? Like, similar to, similar to how a parent is to their minor child. Their minor child is the ward. Like, what in the world? I mean, I guess that means that they have rights, but, like, why can't they just be their own people? He's so weird. Anyway, so there's some other stuff about him. You know, I don't know. Like, he's accused the FBI and Department of Justice of treason. Who does that? He's so weird. And he, like, you know, borders on Nazi rhetoric, kind of like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene does, it's interesting, they have very similar views, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar, but I think Paul Gosar knows how to curtail it a little bit. He kind of hides his Nazi-ness somewhat, whereas Marjorie Taylor Greene literally just goes full out and says the things that they say on Nazi forums. Remember, Jewish space lasers. Remember, the Holocaust didn't happen. That's what they say. So she really just goes all out. And I think that that's why he's able to sort of fly under the radar. That's why we never talked about him, really, until now. So as related to the Unite the Right rally, you guys remember that? The Unite the Right rally was that white supremacist meeting in Charlottesville. They ran over a girl with a car, killed her quickly. And they were all, like, you know, shouting in the streets, saying that, like, Jews aren't going to replace us. Waving around the Nazi flag, waving around the Confederate flag. I don't even know. But you know, white supremacists will do as white supremacists will, right? So, he says that the Unite the Right rally was created by the left, which is pretty weird. That's just strange. Because there was a saying, someone said this once, some political commentator that I don't know who said it, and they got it from someone else. They said that not all Republicans are white supremacists, but all white supremacists are Republicans. And I was like, oh, that's funny. And similar with Nazism, you know, like they will vote for Nazis aren't going to vote for Democrats. That's just not how it's going to work. That's just not it. Democrats are annoying as well. Like, they don't do anything when they're in power, but they're not waving around the Nazi flag. What is going on with the Nazi flag? This is strange. Strange. But anyway, and also, so another thing that Paul Gosar is, you know, he's weird because he's good friends with Steve King. Steve King is a former congressman out of Iowa. Why isn't he a congressman now? I used to know. Did he get kicked out? I don't think he got kicked out. I think he just lost his most recent election. I think he just lost. let me see. I got it right here. So definitely a Republican victory in Iowa. Hello, it's Iowa. And he was in the... Which one was he? Was he in the 4th district? 4th district. Okay. 4th. Okay, so he lost. He is now replaced by some guy named Randy Feenstra. Anyway, so Steve King lost, right? But let's talk about Steve King. He had lots of problems too. And Paul Gosar is one of his friends. So, Steve King says things like how white nationalism is okay and what's wrong with that. Do you remember that? You guys might remember that. I feel like they covered it real quick. I feel like even I missed it, and I'm quite dialed into this stuff. But no, he was up on the microphone and was like, well, what's wrong with white nationalism? Like, who says that? How do you say that? See, this is what I'm talking about, you guys. This is what we're talking about. This is who he's friends with, okay? He says that, So Steve King, he's a opponent to immigration. He says multiculturalism is stupid, and he displays the Confederate flag at his desk that, but he didn't want anyone to know. They just, the media snapped a pic, and he was angry. He was very angry that everyone knew. It's just stupid. He says that, you know, when Barack Obama was being elected, he was like, well, like, his middle name is Hussein, and all the radical Islamists are gonna rally, and so he says things like that. He says that racial profiling is good because they should profile. I'm not making this up. I'm not making any of this up. So basically, this is who Paul Gosar is friends with. This is his views. you know, if you're friends with someone, you typically have similar views, right? So that tells you a lot about someone. That tells you a lot. So now, why are we talking about Paul Gosar now rather than before? Well, now, Paul Gosar is supposed to host, he's supposed to co-host a white supremacist rally with a guy named Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes is a very strange little boy. He, so he's very popular. Well, I don't know if he's very popular, but he's popular on, well, he was popular on YouTube before he got kicked off. So Nick Fuentes is a, he says it out of his own mouth, a white supremacist. He says that out of his own mouth. Remember, here on the Uptown Rundown podcast, we don't call people things. They say it themselves, so therefore we can use it too. So he is a white supremacist, says so out of his own mouth. let's see. He had a YouTube channel, and I think it had maybe 75,000 subscribers before he got kicked off. 75,000. That's not a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, in the grand scheme of YouTube fame, that's not the most. But, like, getting to 75,000 is not a small accomplishment. That's quite a big accomplishment. And he did so by talking about being a white supremacist. So that's the thing. That's the weird thing. People like this stuff. People like this. That's the thing that I think I'm trying to get at, but I don't even realize it. People like this. So don't let people tell you, oh, racism gone. No, it's not. Clearly, you got someone with 75,000 on YouTube. He has 230 and some change thousand followers on Twitter. 200,000 people. Imagine that. And all you're talking about is being a white supremacist. Yeah, he's crazy. He is crazy. And I've seen some of his stuff. It's really weird. It's very, very strange. He's kind of, he's creepy looking. I don't know. Because you can find his stuff on YouTube. Because other people will upload it. Eventually, it'll get pulled down. But you can find it at any time. You can look him up right now and find some of his videos. So, yeah. So, he's doing a rally with, with Nick Fuentes, and people are a little, I don't know, Congress isn't really saying much, you know, they're really not saying much. I feel like they don't know. I feel like they want to see how it goes first. I feel like they want to see how it all goes, and then they'll take action then, because remember, Paul Gosar has been pretty not under the radar, but he isn't out there as much so as Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene is the one she's gonna be the scapegoat so that people like Paul Gosar can run, basically. He is just as Nazi as Marjorie Taylor Greene, truthfully. But he isn't condemned the way that she is. Because remember, people in Congress are staying away from our favorite girl, Marjorie. So it's all just a hot mess. It's all a mess. Now, let's move on. Let's talk about Florida. So there's some strange things happening in Florida. And I'm not just talking about the Miami buildings that are falling. Despite the fact that apparently engineers have been saying that there's issues with anyway, we're gonna ignore that. Actually, what I want to talk about first is New York. Oh, we're running low on time too. What a mess. New York, so the New York City mayor race, primaries are done. Okay, no more primaries. Everyone is voting. Votes have been counted. So remember, we had quite a few weirdos running on the Democratic side. Quite a few weirdos. You had Scott Stringer, the former HUD guy under Oprah, right? No, that's Sean Donovan. But anyway, you had people who were working with the federal government before. You got people who are running who think that you can buy a house in Brooklyn for $100,000. And you got some, like, nobodies, like Diane Morales. Nobodies. Absolutely nobody. Anyway, so Eric Adams is the Democratic primary winner. So Eric Adams, he is the current borough president of Brooklyn. He is a former cop. He is promising, you know, the return of law and order and all this. So he is the Democratic primary winner. The Republican primary winner is Curtis Sliwa. Curtis Sliwa is the head of a vigilante organization called the Guardian Angels. They wear the red little, like, bomber jackets. They wear the berets. And they were very big in the 80s. They would patrol the subway. And, look, I don't know. I'm not even going to ask. But, so he's the Republican leader. Here's the thing. They don't look that different in terms of policy, in terms of policing. Curtis Sliwa is running his campaign on not defund the police, but rather refund the police. So, but that's very similar to Eric Adams. You know what I mean? And who do I think is going to win? I think Curtis Sliwa is going to win. You want to know why? I don't see New York. I don't really see most American elections, federal or otherwise, voting very much so for a black person rather than a white person. That's the way I see it. Remember, excuse me, these people, they look the same when you turn the brightness up. We're talking, both sides are very anti-protest. They're very much so take the homeless off the street and put them somewhere else out of sight. They're very much so talking about, like, oh, we're gonna increase this and increase that, but where's the money coming from? Like, no one's talking about much. But the thing is, again, who's voting for a black person when you got a white person to vote for that says the same thing? That's the way I see it. Maybe I'm wrong, you know? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people in New York will automatically see Republican and think, oh, not going to vote for them. But I don't know. People in New York hate the current mayor for the most part. And with Donald Trump being in office, it has ignited a political fervor out of everyone, I feel like. I feel like people are much more dialed in. Therefore, I think people know that they're not that different, Curtis Sliwa and Eric Adams. And again, we just got through talking about how this white supremacist talk is not unpopular. It is, like, hello, Nick Fuentes, 75,000 on YouTube. You don't get that way unless people actually are interested. Not saying that people in New York are going to vote and be white supremacists, but I'm just saying, if the extreme view is held by a few, then you have a broader, less extreme view that is held by many more. Not so much, though, that a white supremacist should be in office, but the fact that maybe a white person should be in office over a black person, I think that that's a view that most people have. That's a view that most people have, and I believe that they will. That's why I think Curtis Sliwa is going to be the next mayor. We're going to have a Republican mayor in New York, I think. The election's going to be in election day, in November. So, I'm excited for the debates. I'm excited for the coverage that it's going to get. I think it's going to be really interesting. And I'm excited to see, mostly because, again, what's the difference? There is no difference. We got a cop and a vigilante. So, whatever. Next, let's go to Florida. Okay. So remember, we're not going to talk about the buildings that are collapsing. Let's talk about these weirdos. So Florida has some congressional seats opening up. And so people are running for these seats, right? So some of the people running, we got William Braddock, who is running to be a congressman of Florida. We also got a woman named Anna Paulina Luna, who is, again, Republican, running for a congressional seat in Florida. So you would think all is fine and dandy, right? Like, okay, you're going to have your little election, Florida. Put your weirdos in office. And, you know, things will move on as normal. You would think that that's the case. But no. But no! We have a secret recording of William Braddock saying that he is going to hire a Russian hit mob to get rid of Anna. What is this? What is wrong with these people? So let's talk about it. So I'm reading this from Politico, you guys. So during a 30-minute call with a conservative activist that was recorded before he became a candidate, William Braddock repeatedly warned the activist to not support Anna Paulina Luna in the Republican primary because he had access to assassins. Yes, he said this in a phone call. So let's move on. We got a little bit more about what he said. We got some quotes here, you guys. Quotes. I need to know, are people voting for this guy after this? Are you voting for someone who says you got access to assassins? So, let's see. So, William Braddock is on the phone saying, remember, in a secret recording, he's saying, quote, I really don't want to have to end anyone's life for the good of the people of the United States of America. That will break my heart. But if it needs to be done, it needs to be done. Luna is a effing speed bump in the road. She's a dead squirrel that you run over every day when you leave the neighborhood. So, like, do you get to still run after you make these comments? That's what I want to know. Do you get to still, like, do you get kicked out? Like, oh, like, this isn't going to work. So, Anna Paulina Luna is running with it. She's like, oh, I'm afraid. Oh, I'm terrified. She's a pretty lady, you know. She looks like she could be a model almost. Wait, let me look at her again. Is she? Yeah. She looks Latin-ish. I mean, her last name is Luna, so. Or maybe Italian. Probably not. No, she's probably Latin of some sorts. Black hair. Olive skin. She looks like spicy white. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Is it a done deal? Is Anna gonna be the new congresswoman out of Florida? I don't know, but I feel like this guy has really shot himself in the foot. It seems that people are more concerned with the fact that this recording was made without William Braddock's consent. People are talking about the fact that it's a third-degree felony to record another person without their knowledge. But it's like, are we more concerned about that? Or are we concerned about assassins? We're talking about assassins, you guys. And we're talking about that interfering with an election. funny how we are talking about interfering with an election, huh? But anyway, now let's end this with a little more talk about Florida. I want to talk about Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida. And I want to talk about why I think he's going to be our next president. Because the Democrats have lost it. They are finished. They are finished in 2022, and they will be even more finished in 2024. Joe Biden has expressed that he wants to be a one-term president. I don't know why. I don't think he even said why, but probably because he's really freaking old. Pretty sure he's the oldest president we've ever had. He needs to go. He needs to go, honestly. He's so boring, and I hate Kamala Harris too, but anyway, Ron DeSantis, he's going to be the next president. I'm calling it now, okay? And you guys watch in 2024, he's going to be the president. Ron DeSantis appeals to all conservatives of all ages, all of them. He appeals to the baby boomer conservatives, because, you know, he, like, you know, he doesn't like gay people, he doesn't like abortion. And then he also appeals to the Gen X conservatives for the same reasons, basically. Right? Yeah. But then he also appeals to the not even Generation Y conservatives, but Generation Y people who kind of don't really know or don't really care, because he's very much so of this anti-woke type of talking points. Similar to like a Barstool Sports type of thing. Similar to, it's like very much so in the vein of like against all of the talk of Me Too, against the talk of like, I think you guys know what I'm trying to say. He's very much so appealing to these younger people who are over the race talk. They don't want to talk about race anymore. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about systemic issues. They don't want to talk about immigration. That's another thing that he is very good at rallying his base about immigration. No one wants to hear anything about immigration anymore. Conservatives are over it. They've had it. He appeals to all of them. And not to mention the fact that Florida is among the many states that have recently put forth all these voter suppression methods. So, like, no more drop boxes. You can only vote, like, they limited the hours of voting. You know, the gerrymandering that takes place has, you know, it's just... The Democrats have lost it. They are finished. And it's so annoying because the Democrats had power. But what did they do with it? It's like Republicans fight tooth and nail to do whatever they decide needs to be done. And then, you know, so, but when the Democrats are in power, they kind of just sit back and it's like, la-di-da, okay, like, we won. But nothing ever gets passed. Nothing ever gets passed. Nothing. So it's just like, I feel like we lose both ways. That's why I advocate for a farther left-leaning party. Anyway, so that's basically all I had for you guys today. We are going to have a Republican president. We are going to have a Republican House of Representatives. And we are going to have a Republican Senate. Watch! I mean, it's so ridiculous. I don't think I have much else to say. Yeah, you know, Ron DeSantis really is, I feel like conservatives are obsessed with him. He's like a superstar now. He's pushing this whole, you know, critical race theory, which, by the way, I never have heard of that before. What even is that? A conservative watchdog group put forth a little study and was like, Fox News mentioned, it had to do with Fox News mentioning critical race theory, how many times they've said it and in which months. And it was like, in January, it was like 0 times. February was 0 times. March was like, you know, twice. But in recent months, like last month in June, 1,300 times. What is this about? Remember, again, I said this earlier, I said this last week too, that the conservatives, they always need a they. So they are wanting to teach your children about race, and that's bad. They are wanting to... Does that make sense? The goalpost has shifted from... It used to be, you know, the communists are coming. Now it's the Mexicans are coming. It's just all a bunch of foolishness. I'll talk about that probably more next week. The Israel talk is coming. Still doing more research on that. We're going to talk about how... why Christians in America are more dead set on the destruction of the Palestinians more so than Jewish people in America. And I want to talk about why this is the case. What else are we going to talk about next week? I want to talk about... And I want to talk about Myanmar as well. Probably not next week, but I want to tie what's happening in Myanmar to what's happening in Israel. It's very similar. We're talking about the destruction of Muslims. We're talking about, which is, of course, that's always the case, right? Anyway, so that's all I have for you guys today. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next one.